This morning's reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, which can be found on page 836 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The temptation of Jesus. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Jesus begins his ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus calls the first disciples. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and followed him. Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Walking with Jesus is our desire, our aim through this Lent season, as we read in Mark's Gospel together day by day, as we worship around themes from Mark's Gospel on Sundays together. Walking with Jesus. Wonder if you've noticed there are lots of car stickers about on the theme of following, and who will we follow? Don't follow me, I'm lost too. It's always good to have someone to follow if you're not sure of the way, but it can be a complete disaster if they're not sure of the way either. And you need to be confident that the car in front knows the right way. But what about the large choice of follow stickers that football supporters have? Don't follow me, follow Well, it could be Hearts or Hibs or even a Glasgow team, I suppose. And you're allowed to delete as appropriate. And the Hearts and Hibs are only in alphabetical order, so don't worry about that either. We all like to follow someone or something. It seems kind of hardwired in us. Whether it's a sports team or a sports personality or a TV show or a musician or whoever it is, we like to follow. We buy the CDs, we go to the matches, we watch the repeats, we find out about what it is we're following and what it is we're interested in. We talk about it endlessly. We get anxious about it. We like to follow. Jesus said, "Follow me." I think it's perhaps the characteristic two-word phrase of the Lord Jesus, "Follow me." Fishermen, taxmen, zealots, blind men who could now see, women, in fact, everyone. Jesus calls to all people, "Follow me." There will never be a day in your life over which the Lord Jesus does not cry, "Follow me." There will never be anyone you meet anywhere to whom this call of the Lord Jesus does not come, "Follow me." And you may respond, "Why should we follow Jesus?" Okay, I understand that Jesus calls me to follow him, but why should I follow him? Why should anyone follow Jesus? The letters have started coming through the door. I'm sure you've noticed there are elections coming again in May. Some of them ask us to follow the blue or the red or the yellow rosette. And they all give us reasons why we should follow them. They are all such brilliant reasons because their candidates are all such brilliant candidates. But every now and then we ask ourselves, why should I follow them? What reasons does Jesus give to justify our following him? Well, that's in part why we're reading Mark's Gospel together through this Lent season. On every page, in every verse, Jesus answers that question. He demonstrates who he is. And that is why we should follow him. In the passage that Faye read for us earlier, the very opening of the Gospel, we find there reasons why we should follow Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is one of the most visual and memorable events in the early life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has left Nazareth. He's gone down to the Jordan Valley, where John is baptizing many who come out to him. Jesus is baptized by John. And then we read, when he came up out of the water, immediately the heavens were torn open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." If you hear a voice speaking from heaven, is there any doubt at all who is speaking? It can only be God. Heaven is not a location. We cannot plot it on any sort of grid or map. Heaven is the sphere of God's rule and reign. So in shorthand, heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God speaks to us from. The voice which comes from heaven is God's voice. The voice which identifies Jesus as "My beloved Son" is God's voice. Jesus is God's Son. Everything that is true of God is also true of Jesus. All that makes God who he is the same that makes Jesus who he is. Now, I know, I completely understand that God does not have DNA. Don't mistake me. God does not have DNA. But if he did, the DNA of Jesus would be the same as that of God. In his nature, in his person and his being, Jesus is God. When Augustus or Tiberius Caesar were hailed as Son of God, no one imagined that in their being or nature, they had stopped being human and had become something different. For the emperor, Son of God was a title which indicated majesty and status. In a similar way, the Psalms sometimes refer to the king as Son of God. They don't mean that the king is the same as God in his nature or being, but that he has majesty and authority to rule. But this is not what's intended by the voice of God at the baptism of Jesus. God is not simply declaring from heaven that Jesus has majesty and status. He is announcing to all creation that Jesus is God. Jesus is the same as God. The importance of this is when we realize that if Jesus is God, then God has come to be with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us always, not just for Christmas. In diplomatic relationships between countries, an ambassador fully represents the government or monarch who has given him his ambassadorial status. In his official capacity to deal, an ambassador represents fully the monarch or the government. But what if the monarch should come themselves with their embassy? What if the monarch, instead of sending an ambassador with a message, gets on the plane themselves and goes with the message? While legally the significance of the visit may not change, emotionally the stakes are much higher. The king himself has come to be with us and to bring us the message of his embassy. God has come to us. The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, God has come to us himself. God didn't send a prophet or a priest or a minister. God came himself. This is how much God loves you. This is how much God longs for you to know his grace and his mercy. This is how much God longs for you to enjoy his presence. God has come to you. The God who has come to you calls you to follow him. He wants to make sure that you get this message, and so he comes himself to deliver it. He wants you to clearly understand that it is God who is calling you to follow him. We should follow him. God loves you and will not lead you into any harm, but only into more of his grace and his love. God has come to us. We should follow him. The first words the Lord Jesus speaks in the gospel tell us why we should follow Jesus. Jesus said, "The time is at hand. The kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the gospel." In his presence with us, the Lord Jesus has brought the reality of the kingdom of God to us. The kingdom of God is not a territory. It's not like the kingdom of Fife, which has specific borders and limits. You don't want to mistake Clackmannanshire for Fife. The locals won't be happy with that. The kingdom of God is the extent of the reign of God. It is where God's reign is effectively established. From the time of the Boston Tea Party in December 1773 through to the Declaration of Independence in July 1776, King George III was king over the colonies in the New World. But he was not effective as king. His reign was not established. He was king in name only. In the coming of the Lord Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of God is established. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, begins when Jesus comes among us. The presence of Jesus is the presence of the kingdom of God. This is because Jesus is the king in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is not a territory, but the presence of the king. Jesus comes as king and brings the kingdom of God with him. We need to try very hard to remember that the word Christ is not a name, but a title. Jesus Christ is not Mr. Christ. Jesus Christ is King Jesus. When God promised a Christ, he was promising a king. And in the coming of Jesus, the king has come among us, and he now reigns over us. There is and will be no other king in God's kingdom than Jesus. At various times during the War of the Roses, there were different claimants to the crown, sometimes two or three alive at the same time, each of them claiming to be king. The extent of the reign of each one of them was often no more than they could see with their eyes. If the Lancashire claimant was in London, that's where he was king. But maybe the York fellow was in Leicester. Well, he reigned in Leicester. And there was always the Tudors out in Wales and Pembrokeshire. But they were only king there. Where the king is, there is the kingdom. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom of God. And we are to follow Jesus into his kingdom. When Jesus calls us, follow me, that's what he says. Become a citizen in my kingdom. Enter into my kingdom. Live under my rule and my reign. The kingdom of God grows in the presence of Jesus, one changed life at a time. The kingdom of God is justice for all, peace and mercy for all, abundant grace for all. Why would you not follow Jesus into this kingdom? Why would you not long to live as a citizen of this kingdom? Yes, for your own blessing. It is great joy to live under the rule of Jesus as king, but also for the blessing of others. If you enter the kingdom, if you follow Jesus, you begin to live in a way that reflects his kindness, his gentleness, his grace, his patience with others all around you. The blessings of the kingdom are shared with others as you follow Jesus into the kingdom. We should follow Jesus into the kingdom of God, that we might live in his kingdom and that we might extend the range and sphere of his kingdom through our living. Jesus said to them, follow me. There are no interviews, no application forms, just an invitation. Follow me. There's no person specification or job description. The invitation of Jesus is for everyone. None are excluded. All are called. All are invited. Jesus said, follow me. Who are you to think that you can decide to follow Jesus all by yourself? The good news is, Jesus has invited you. Jesus has called you to follow him. Jesus knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your sorrows and your joys. He knows your successes and your failures. When you hear Jesus calling, follow me, do not doubt. Jesus is calling you. He calls you because he knows you already and he longs for you to be with him. Jesus loves you. He loves you better than anyone else will ever love you. This is why God sent his Son to be God with you, because he loves you. This is why Jesus walked on the road to Jerusalem, the journey to the cross, because he loves you. This is why Jesus is gracious towards you, compassionate and patient and gentle with you, because he loves you. Someone who loves you very much has come to invite you to be with them. Someone who loves you very much has called you to follow them. Knowing that Jesus loves you, why not then trust him and follow him? We follow Jesus but not out of duty or fear, rather because of love. Jesus loves you. Follow him. Follow him, and you will know more of his love. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this gospel call that Jesus gives us, that we should follow him. We pray that your Spirit would strengthen us today, that we would step out and follow Jesus. Perhaps if we've done this before, that we would recommit ourselves to following Jesus right now. But perhaps for some, for the first time, that we would say, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow you." Move among us by your Spirit. Strengthen us for this, that we might walk in Jesus' way. Hear our prayer for your glory. Amen. We sing together, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King?"